everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I am Dewdrop and Drag, Daniel Hummer. And I'm here with both Bashams, Doug.
Yo.
And Clevis here. Clevis, how you doing?
I'm good.
We're here for a very special episode. This was Doug's idea. We're going to be rebooking matches from the past. And we're rebooking angles. We're going to be rebooking old angles. I got to change the title.
Yeah. Now, we're not rebooking Kurt Angle.
Well, maybe. You never know. But we're going to be taking, like, old storylines and angles from whatever genre. Even if it was – even if you want to do the Bloodline, you can. Any – all time, whatever. We know what you're standing up for, and the NWO.
Right.
And we'll get into all that. But – we're going to be rebooking those. Just thought things that we thought, even if other people thought they were great and it was fine. But I think, at least I know me and Doug, we're going to things that people kind of shit on and trying to fix them. I believe Clintus is too, right?
Clintus' choice was actually something that everybody thought was going to happen, but it was changed like last minute.
Right. And I'll let him announce it soon. But yeah. We're rebooking old storylines. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're basically going to go in, go through the matches, how we would do differently, if we would change a winner or a loser, just everything around the angle and storyline. We're going to restructure here and see if we can make it better.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll start with you, Doug. I already kind of gave a preview, but what are you going to be rebooking today?
So we're going to go back and we're going to kind of rebook how the NWO should have been booked after Starrcade 97. And when I say should have been booked, like a lot of people, I think, because a lot of people say that the NWO should have ended a lot sooner than what it did, because it was losing steam. And I think a lot of people were expecting the NWO to break up or be done with after Starrcade.
Yeah.
And I think because they thought that's when Hogan's just like, oh no, brother, it's not going to happen. Like, that's why Hogan politicked to try to keep the belt on himself after Starrcade.
Like, yeah.
That, and Bischoff had even said, because Bischoff had been sticking up for Hulk for years, except for in the A&E special when he threw Hogan under the bus. Maybe he didn't think Hulk was going to watch it. But, like, during like podcasts and stuff, like he kept sticking up for Hulk, and that's usually what you do when you want to blow the guy. So, like he had said that Hulk, because Sting was not necessarily paranoid, but Sting knew Hulk was going to pull crap and was going to double cross him and not want to put him over.
Yeah.
Because Sting had no faith in Hogan, that's when Hogan decided, okay, well, I'm not going to put him over. So Hulk, being the biggest dumb fuck in the history of dumb fucks that he is, he decided, he's just like, oh, well, he has no faith in me, so why should I put him over? To put the faith back in him, you stupid, bald-headed, Fu Manchu'd fuck.
Yeah.
But so basically what we're going to do is we're going to go back, and everybody remembers the Starrcade finish, which was supposed to be a fast count, but it was Nick Patrick with a slow count, which we don't know if it was Hogan that told him to do it, Bischoff that told him to do it, whatever.
Yeah.
Bischoff tried to salvage the finish by having Bret Hart go out there, which Hogan apparently knew nothing about. I mean, to be honest with you, like, Bischoff knew he was going to end the NWO because Hogan actually was rumored to be heading over to Vince.
Right.
But those talks fell through once Hogan realized that he was just going to be used to put over Steve Austin.
Yeah.
So Hulk was
like, "What's going to happen? What's going to happen, brother?"
Yeah, it doesn't work for me, brother.
So that's what you're going to be rebooking.
That's what I'm going to be rebooking.
Okay.
So, you want me to do it, or we're going into what?
No, we're going to introduce everybody's, and then we will start with yours, though.
Okay.
Clintus, what are you going to be doing?
All right. I want to rebook the whole Sasha and Charlotte storyline. I think
the 2016 deal, right?
Yeah, the 2016 deal when he wanted to play hot potato with the titles,
okay.
Which gave Charlotte and Sasha so many unnecessary title reigns.
Right.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun one. And I am going to be rebooking something that's very controversial, but something that I think could be done way better, and something that people, it started out really great, but people kind of thought that it got floundered a little bit. I'm going to be doing the Summer of Punk.
I thought you said you weren't doing
that. I was joking.
He's just trying to keep a guessing chair.
CM Punk and his reign, basically right after the pipe bomb and after my, because I'm going to keep a lot of Money in the Bank the same because that was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go from there because I think it got kind of fumbled and politics and bullshit got in the way. What's up, brother?
So you're talking about, you're not doing the AEW, you're talking about the WWE version, right?
Yes. I'm not talking about AEW. Okay. I'm not talking about the discount version.
Okay.
I know Eric's somewhere punching a wall, but
he might not even be a
two different companies. So I want to make sure we're on the same page here. So.
No, you are right. They are two, and he did do it both times. But I'm talking about the one that was over.
Right.
and then that one got screwed up. And yes, AEW got screwed up. Maybe I could do that on another episode.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that could then handle tone. But I don't know if I have the booking skills to make that locker room not act like little bitches.
Right.
So, but I don't know why we're all fierce tonight, but.
I don't know. I get ready to go see a Burt Kreischer movie. I think I'm like,
The Machine.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a lot of fun. We are going to start with you and the NWO, Doug, because you've been brewing this. This was your idea from the start. This is what you wanted to do, the NWO.
Yeah.
This is something that got kind of, you know, not even kind of. This got screwed up in real life.
Yeah.
Where's your starting point?
All right. So I feel like I should start at World War III. Even though, like, if Scott Hall doesn't win World War III, then you really don't get, like, his momentum built up and the whole thing with him and Larry Zbysko. Larry Zbysko's push. I mean, I'm sure they still do the Larry Zbysko, Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, miss Larry's punt, Larry's push.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Zbysko and Bischoff would have happened.
Yeah.
But I feel like that if Scott Hall didn't win World War III, then we wouldn't, you know, a lot of the stuff that happened probably would not have happened. He wouldn't have been such a prominent part.
Yes.
But I do have a different winner for World War III.
Oh, cool. And just, we are going to interject and ask questions too, so it's not just one of us going off for a half.
Yeah.
But what do you, who's winning World War III?
Bret Hart.
Oh, shit.
Okay. You bring him in, Kevin Nash no-shows World War III in 1997 because he technically was not ready yet to wrestle because he had arthroscopic knee surgery. His knees were actually like shit.
How long is World War III after Starrcade?
World War III is before Starrcade.
So you're going to have, but Bret Hart wasn't wrestling yet, right?
No, Bret Hart had, they announced that he was coming in.
Oh, so you,
so
okay.
We're bringing Bret in as a surprise, as the guy replacing Kevin Nash in the match.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I'm switching reality, too, because I'm giving some people with injuries, non-injuries. So.
Okay. And I'm going to do the same thing in a little bit.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay. Bret Hart comes in. They think he's going to be a member of the NWO. He actually not necessarily acts as if he's a member of the NWO, but Hogan thinks he's going to be. So they make sure he beats the Giant and wins World War III. Okay?
Oh, that is cool.
All right? So he wins World War III. He's going to get the title shot at Super Brawl. Scott Hall ends up not winning World War III because of Larry Zbysko.
Yeah.
Okay? So So we'll interject that. But Bret Hart wins it, and then they kind of go through. They have this tirade, you know. But Bret, you know, says, hey, I'm going to go, you know, it comes out next night on Nitro, cuts a promo, and says, you know, I'm going to go, I have to be ready for this. I have to be ready for Super Bowl. So he's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to train. But then, so like NWO goes on a tear for the next couple of weeks. Sting makes his return on the December 8th Nitro, which was held in Buffalo, New York. I'm not changing any of that. And we are going to do the Eric Bischoff, Larry Zbysko match, but with a twist. It's going to be a tag team match. Scott Hall was pissed off at Larry Zbysko. So Scott Hall and Eric Bischoff are going to team against Larry Zbysko and a partner of Larry's choosing. So now, you know, Starrcade comes right December 15th. Larry's still not giving up who his partner – Larry's not giving up who his partner is until December 15th. Bischoff, you know, is bitching about it. He's like, I want to know who the partner is. I want to know who the partner is. But on December 15th, he's like, but I also want a referee. J.J. Dillon comes out, names Bret Hart the referee.
Oh, shit.
So we're still going to do – so it's the way it was. But Larry Zbysko was still not Larry Zbysko is still not saying who his partner is. Fast forward, we get to Starrcade, we get to the match. At Starrcade, Bret Hart comes out, Scott Hall, Eric Bischoff come out, Zbysko comes out, no partner.
Yeah.
So they go, they have what is a handicap match. Or, like, they wrestle the first few minutes of a handicap match. Bret says to Larry, Larry just looks at Bret and says, I can't do this anymore. It looks like he's going to give up because I can't do this anymore. And, my partner is here.
Yeah.
And Bret goes, okay.
Yeah.
Bret turns around, decks Scott Hall. It's revealed that Bret was actually the partner.
Oh, shit.
All right. So the guy that was picked as the referee is actually Larry Zbysko's mystery partner.
Oh, that's dope.
So, so then they win the match. Nitro stays the same. We get to Hogan and Sting. Now, earlier in the night, because, you know, Hogan wanted extra insurance because he didn't like the fact that Nick Patrick was going to be the referee, so he petitioned him and Bischoff both before Bischoff got his ass kicked. They petitioned that NWO, that Hogan gets to have a special enforcer, an NWO special enforcer on the outside.
Okay.
J.J. Dillon said, okay, if that's going to happen for the NWO, we're going to have one for WCW. Keep it even.
Yeah.
Now,
this is the Super Brawl match.
No, this is still Starrcade.
Okay.
World title on the line. Your NWO enforcer is Macho Man. Now, Clintus might actually know like where I'm taking this from, because they kind of did this in 98 in a tag title match with the New Age Outlaws and WWF in a tag title match with the New Age Outlaws versus Undertaker versus Kane and Mankind for the tag title.
Yeah.
Austin and Undertaker were the outside enforcers.
Yeah.
Along with the referee. So Macho Man is Hogan's enforcer. Scott Steiner is Sting's. Scott Steiner was pinned by Randy Savage earlier in the night. Scott Steiner comes up. So Scott Steiner prevents Savage from interfering. He gets in the ring. Nick Patrick had been leveled. He doesn't know what's going on. Sting has the Scorpion on Hogan. Scott kicks Sting, hooks him, hits his double underhook powerbomb. We get Scott Steiner's heel turn two pay-per-views early. Hogan goes for the leg drop. We're about ready to get the one. Nick Patrick comes in not knowing what's going on, so he's counting. One, two. Bret Hart comes in, stops Nick Patrick's hand from hitting the mat. Nick Patrick doesn't know what to do. Bret Hart knocks Steiner out of the ring. Savage has no idea what's going on because he didn't know that Scott Steiner was going to join. And then we get, and then Bret Hart just kind of scares Hogan. Nick Patrick's just like, what do I do? What do I do? Hogan's saying, no, DQ, DQ. He's going to interfere. He walks up. He walks into Sting. Sting Scorpion death drops him, locks him in the Scorpion. Hogan taps out. We get a champion.
Oh, shit.
All right.
No fuck finish.
No, a convoluted kind of finish.
But not fuck.
But not fuck. Next night on Nitro, Hogan and Bischoff come out and say they got robbed. They want a rematch. J.J. Dillon comes out and says, all right, fine, you can have it. But if Hogan loses, he can't have another title shot while Sting is champion.
Ooh.
So what happens is they go out, they have the match, another ref bump. Scott Hall comes out. Not Scott Hall. I had this. Randy Savage comes out.
Oh, shit.
Randy Savage comes out, grabs the world title, goes to hit Hogan with it. Sting with it. Sting ducks. Hogan gets hit. Kevin Nash comes out. Scott Steiner comes out. They're upset. They're going after Randy. They're like, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Scott Hall and Kurt Hennig come out and get in their faces. So we get kind of a pull apart, or not a pull apart, but everybody's kind of arguing. Sting, by the way, covers Hogan, gets the win. Fast forward next week on Nitro, they're in Atlanta. The two limos pull up. Which actually, this did happen on January 5th, 1998.
Okay.
Where the two limos were Hogan, Nash, Bagwell, Norton, K-Dog, Vincent, and I believe I said Hogan. And we're going to add Scott Steiner into this. The other limo, Savage, Hall, Henning, Rude, Elizabeth, and Bischoff. So it looks like they're having problems.
Yeah.
Savage wrestles Luger in the main event. And Luger beats Savage. Savage goes nuts. Savage goes nuts and he goes to hit Luger with a chair. Kevin Nash comes out because the original finish saw Bischoff try to pull the chair away from Savage because WCW and NWO were both warned earlier in the night that if they get too outrageous, they're going to start getting fined.
Yeah.
So by a WCW lawyer by the name of Nick Lambrose, who probably, if he wanted to, could audition for Kermit the Frog and get the part. The voice.
Yeah.
Right? So, but we're going to have Nash come out this time. Grab the chair from Savage. Savage is going to go to hit him. Nash gloms him with the chair.
Oh.
Okay. Scott Hall and Kurt Hennig come out because Savage is their guy, right? Bischoff comes out. And then the other members of the NWO come out. Scott Steiner and Kurt Hennig start to get into it. Hall and Nash are kind of shoving back and forth. Hogan's coming out. He doesn't know what to do. Hogan actually picks up Savage and is going to hit him. Bischoff stops him. And then Hogan turns around and nails Bischoff. So what Savage did to Bischoff originally on that episode, we're going to turn around. We're going to have Hogan do it.
Oh, that's right. Badass.
So then we're going to kind of go around. Hogan's going to be upset. Debut episode of Thunder. Still, you know, some pushing and shoving or whatever.
Yeah.
The next week on Nitro, on January the 12th, Scott Steiner versus Rick Steiner, winner controls the WCW tag titles. Right? Originally, it was Hall and Nash versus the Steiners, and the Outsiders won the belts back. But since Scott's already heel, we're going to go Rick versus Scott to see who controls the belts. Scott kind of has it well in hand. Buff Bagwell comes out. You know, they do the two sweet because it looks like Buff's going to be his partner. Kurt Hennig comes out. And Kurt Hennig and Scott Steiner, you know, everybody kind of made amends. Or it looked like they were kind of making amends like earlier in the night. Hogan said, look, let's forget all about it. David said, screw all of you. He wanted a shot at Nash. Hall and Hennig are like, you know what? We'll kind of play ball. Kurt Hennig comes out, grabs the tag title, and while Scott has Rick in the Steiner recliner, Kurt Hennig, and by the way, the referee is distracted by Ray Traylor taking a couple of chunks out of Buff Bagwell's ass. Kurt Hennig cracks Scott Steiner in the back of the head with the tag title belt. Rick Steiner wins. Kurt Hennig rips off the NWO shirt, throws it in Hogan's face because Hogan comes out and has no idea what the hell is going on. Throws it in Hogan's face. Rick Steiner hands Kurt Hennig the World Tag Team title belt. Kurt Hennig is going to be Rick Steiner's new partner.
Oh, that's badass.
Now, Savage and Nash continue to have their issues. Hall is in the middle because Hall is boys with Savage, but he's also Nash's longtime friend. So now we are getting to Kurt Hennig has already left, and he's jumped ship, him and Rick Rude both. Well, Rick Rude actually, like earlier in the night, he's just like, I've had enough of this. I'm going back to Vince. And he leaves and he goes back and rejoins DX in the WWF.
Yeah.
Okay. Or that's how I would book it. Like, I would book it and he'd be like, fuck it, I'm done. So now, the first ever 3-hour episode of Nitro, we still do the thing where Nash kicked out the Giant because he wanted to win via Jackknife Powerbomb, even though he knew he couldn't lift the Giant's fat ass. But now it's just like, all right, we got other fish to fry. I want a piece of Savage, and you know, I want him. And Scott, we need to know where your loyalties lie. Nash and Savage is the main event. Hogan comes out, kind of causes a DQ. You know, they're all ganging up on Savage. Kurt Hennig and Rick Steiner and Sting and Luger try to, you know, come out, and they kind of fend everybody off. Scott Hall gets in the ring, kind of stands side by side with Hogan and the rest of them.
Yeah.
Scott Hall turns around and decks.
He turns babyface?
He turns babyface and he decks.
That's badass.
Scott, he decks Kevin Nash.
Okay.
All right. So now it's made official, like, so now they're going to make it official for Super Brawl. It's not going to be Sting and Hogan 3 for the world title. Instead, we're going to get a big match. Hogan, Nash, Scott Steiner, Buff Bagwell versus Hall, Steiner, Hall, Rick Steiner, Kurt Hennig, and the Macho Man.
Oh, shit.
All right. Or, you know, we'll put in, even though I can't stand it, we'll put in the debuting Bryan Adams on the NWO side, and we'll put in Luger on the other side just so, like, kind of make it like a 10-on-10.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be Brett and Sting in the main event.
Yeah.
Remember, Brett won World War III. We have this 10-man tag, and J.J. Dillon says, Hogan, if your team loses, the Bischoff says, because Bischoff agrees to it, says NWO will disband if Hogan and them lose.
Yeah.
So now it's all thinking that, you know, there's going to be a swerve or whatever because you can't trust Bischoff. AJ Dillon's just like, oh, God. And then they put Nitro back up on the line.
Oh, shit.
All right. Well, it looked like during the match that Scott Hall was going to, because Scott Hall and Rick Steiner were having problems and Macho Man and Luger were having problems.
Yeah.
And Kurt Hennig said, screw this. Like, I can't, I don't know what to do. So it looks like he's getting ready. He goes to leave, but then him and Bryan Adams kind of fight to the back.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So Kevin Nash goes to jackknife Rick Steiner. Jackknife is, by the way, is illegal. He goes to jackknife Rick Steiner. Scott Hall takes the can of spray paint and gets Big Kev in the eyes.
Oh, shit.
Luger racks him. Luger racks him. Nash, unfortunately, has to give up. NWO disbanded. It ended Super Brawl.
Oh.
Okay. And it ended at the hands of three of their main members, Kurt Hennig, Scott Hall, the Macho Man Randy Savage, and Bischoff had something to do with it. Because Bischoff comes in, and says, NWO is done. It's all done. And he sides with Savage, Hall, and Hennig. And actually, shakes hands with the baby. So basically, it's a babyface turn for Bischoff, Hennig, Savage, and Hall. So you end the NWO by having those three guys, who, by the way, are three of the closest friends. Kurt Hennig and Randy Savage are Scott Hall's closest friends besides Kevin Nash and the rest of the members of the clique.
Yeah.
That's how you end that.
That's badass.
Yeah.
I like that pitch. I think that totally fixes it. And it's a good way to end it and not on the sour note.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You don't have to split everything up. You just have those guys, everybody just go their separate ways.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
What do you think, Quinn?
I like it. Interesting. I like the first thing for Bret Hart and all.
Yeah, like it would in World War III.
Yeah.
You incorporated everybody well.
Yeah, I tried. I mean, like, there was a few things, because I didn't want to go, like, even though I think I just did, like, 20 minutes. like, I didn't want to go, like, too long, because there's so much that, like, you could, but I hit the important breaking points.
Yeah.
Which were World War III, Starrcade, the tag titles, and, you know, and obviously Super Brawl, because I think Super Brawl, like, I know Bischoff says that his, like, his most important events were Halloween Havoc and Bash at the Beach, but I don't think you should really drag it out for that long.
Yeah.
Because I do think they were on, they had something cool with Goldberg, they had something cool with DDP. So you push those guys and you just kind of, you end, because like the NWO, yeah, they were still kind of going strong, but like this would have been the perfect time to end it. And Super Brawl, I think, would have been the best pay-per-view to end it at. Either that, or like if you want to drag it out for another month and end it at Uncensored and make the match like no DQ or whatever.
Yeah, then that's what you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think Super Brawl was the right. Super Brawl would have been the right time.
I agree. All right, Clint, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next. Now,
Charlie,
we all know back in. Yeah. We all know. I call this around 2015. They introduced the Women's Championship down at WrestleMania 32. Charlotte goes in WrestleMania 32 and as the Divas champion and wins the women's championship. So Sasha is going like on the background, but makes her way back to the title picture, going into Battleground, where you have Sasha and the mystery partner going against Charlotte and Dana Brooke. We all know that at Battleground, Bayley shows up to be Sasha's partner. and Sasha passed out. Charlotte for the win. The following night after during the brand split, the first Raw of the brand split, Mick Foley introduces announces going to be a Raw women's title match between making Charlotte defend her title against Sasha Banks. Here's what I said. I will see Sasha beating Charlotte here because in the NXT, Charlotte never really beat Sasha. So but going into SummerSlam, this is where I went wrong. I will allow Sasha to also win the match there. Because originally, going through, we had Charlotte won at SummerSlam. For the following night on Raw, Sasha won it back.
So you would still do the title change at SummerSlam, but then Sasha just won it back?
I would do the title. No. I would not have Charlotte win it back at SummerSlam.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll have the rematch at Clash of the Champions. I will give you a rematch at Clash of the Champions. We'll have the rematch there. The right way. We have the rematch, but in this case, what happens in the rematch at Clash of Champions, I will have Bayley in Sasha's corner and allowing Darren Brooke to be on and Charlotte, which will cause tensions between Dana and Charlotte all together. Because here's where I'll say Sasha gets the win at Clash of the Champions again due to Dana Brooke's interference. Thinking that she's going to help Charlotte out because he saw how testy she was during this build-up, how she's causing losing matches, trying to prove herself. This time it's over. She calls Charlotte the title, which goes into the following night on Raw. We all know that Bayley's now in the mainstay and she wants into the title picture. But now that Charlotte's not the champion, she's not really pushing to face Sasha right then and there. So
I like that.
Bayley's more like, yeah. So I'll use Bayley as more as a equalizer to Dana Brooke's situation. As revenge, Dana Brooks goes to Charlotte to fall in line of loss and is saying that she thinks that she can outstage her and challenge Sasha to a match for the Raw Women's Championship. And she invites Charlotte down on commentary so she can watch her win the Raw, watch her so-called win the Raw Women's Championship right there. And during the match, Charlotte gets upset, winds up costing Dana Brooke the match. So, Dana Brooke the match. I think this is going to lead to these two arguments saying that one of them should be rightful, have the right to challenge Sasha for a match. Charlotte wants thinking that she's better than Charlotte, than Sasha Banks. Dana thinking that she's better than Charlotte because Charlotte lost 2 times already and she hasn't had a fair opportunity. So Bayley comes out sitting there saying that we're getting tired of seeing you two go at against my best friend. I would like a shot at my best friend. Sasha lays down the challenge sitting there saying, well, why don't you three all face each other in a triple threat match the following episode of Raw, and the winner will face me inside Hell in a Cell and then following Raw next Raw pay-per-view. I will allow Charlotte to win that match there, but I think this is Charlotte will following like get the steam blown off with Dana Brooke. Bayley gets a pinfall loss. Charlotte tap out Bayley. the stage is set for Hell in a Cell. This is where I will give Charlotte the match. I will give Charlotte still the win here. I'll allow Charlotte to win the title back finally at Hell in a Cell. Because in that match, there was a lot of bumps and bruises. I was surprised that Sasha even finished the match the way it was. Especially as he fell off the side of the cage the first time around. So I will allow Charlotte to finally win the title back there. No more hot potato. No more defending in the middle of this wobble. And then we go down and we finally finish it off. Well, who's going to be the better chance in the 30-minute Ironman match? This time, Charlotte's the champion, Sasha's the challenger. Last time, 30 minutes. And I will give the match to Charlotte Flair. That's how I will book it.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it gives Sasha like a couple month run with the title, which is probably what she should have had.
Yeah. I think that totally fixes that, too.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't
really make any sense. If I'm watching this now, I'm like, it really doesn't make sense. They wanted to keep Charlotte undefeated pay-per-view. I'm like, for what? She's already like 12-0 in this pay-per-view so far. She wasn't going to, like, it was no major, like, superstar. But it's not like the Undertaker's 20-0 record at WrestleMania. This is a pay-per-view record. You want to have to lose eventually. And her singles record, yeah, it was impressive, but it got to go. There you found a way to break it down.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
It also gives Dana Brooke and Bayley some more backstory in there. You know, Bayley's not like a sidekick, and Dana's more like a not much of a pushover as she was when she was with Charlotte this whole time.
Yeah, definitely. I think it definitely builds up Dana and Bayley a lot more. It also gives Sasha a lot more credibility.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, you know, when they originally did that, it was...
Because she was a victim of some spotty booking because of that.
Right, and it was spotty booking, and I don't necessarily know what it was. I don't know if it's... I mean, I know people are going to blame the Nature Prick, but I don't necessarily think it was him. I think it was Vince seeing Sasha... and not necessarily believing in her, and also kind of hearing that there were some people out there that were very critical of Sasha in the beginning. Mainly a man who, he wasn't back to sucking Vince's dick yet, but he had stuck Vince's dick for a long time, and that's Bruce Prichard. In Bruce's first episode of Something to Wrestle With, Bruce criticized Sasha Banks.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a dipshit.
And what's actually funny is I went on Twitter right after I heard that, and I said, what the hell do you know about talent? You haven't worked for WWE in almost 8 years, so you don't even suck Vince's dick anymore.
You told him.
Yeah. And then he went on, and he's just like, I got – because apparently I was not the only one, but a lot of people were going on Twitter and roasting him. So he's like, all right, I guess I have to start being nice to Sasha Banks now.
Absolutely.
Was this on his podcast or like a very special podcast?
It was the very first episode of Something to Wrestle With.
Like it was on a network.
No, it's not on the network, Clint. It's his regular podcast.
Oh, okay. I know you had like a whole series on the network before, so
yeah. No, this was back when they were on MLW Radio.
Ah,
gotcha. All right, That was a damn good pitch, Clintus.
Yeah.
Good rebooking. I'll get into the Summer of Punk then. Now, I'm actually going to stretch this out and kind of make this run to, like, Survivor Series.
Okay.
It's not just the summer, but it's basically how Punk should have been handled, in my eyes. The only thing I change at Money in the Bank is that the whole Christian and Randy thing kind of get situated, and that feud kind of ends.
Right.
And John Morrison does not have a neck injury. He's in the Money in the Bank. He wins. So that's your Money in the Bank winner, John Morrison. But Money in the Bank, the main event goes exactly the same.
See, now, he wins the Raw Money in the Bank.
He wins the Raw Money in the Bank.
Does Daniel Bryan still win the SmackDown?
Yeah, that has no bearing. Okay. I'm not really worried about SmackDown.
Okay.
I'm actually kind of fucking SmackDown by taking Randy away. But it's all for the story of the Summer of Punk.
Okay.
And Raw was the big show around this time. No one gave a shit about SmackDown.
Well, Randy and Christian was also the SmackDown program.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm taking away from... I'm just saying that I'm going to bring Randy into my thing. So I need that to be situated so they don't run all the way.
So Christian gets the belt back from Randy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Christian wins the title at Money in the Bank.
Okay.
And it's not by a DQ bullshit. He wins clean.
Okay, I'm trying to follow here.
No, I know. I'm trying to answer your question. But that's what happens. And it can go through SummerSlam, but it can't be as brutal as it was. That storyline has to kind of lack a little bit for this one to work.
Okay.
So, and it can still kind of go the same, but... It needs to be kind of situated and done by SummerSlam, which it kind of is. At Money in the Bank, though, the main event goes exactly the same. CM Punk beats John Cena. John Cena gets fired at the end, and he is therefore off television for a while. He actually gets fired, not in real life, but storyline-wise. He doesn't show up the next night. But Punk does show up the next night. Vince McMahon is in the ring at the end of the night, the next night on Raw, and he's talking about how we need a champion. Cena wasn't enough, obviously, and that other guy's not coming back. We need a champion. We need a champion. And then Cult of Personality hits, and he comes out, and he says, "You have a champion." He says, I'll sign the contract, but I got to make a few demands. And he basically said, Vince McMahon can't pick the opponent for SummerSlam. It's whoever he wants to go against.
Okay.
Now, when this happens, John Morrison's music plays. John Morrison says, I'm the Money in the Bank winner. You and me have unfinished business. They're both good guys. They're both baby faces. He's like, but let's put on a hell of a show. I want to cash this in the right way. I don't want to be sneaky about this. And you and me at SummerSlam, let's do it. And Vince McMahon's kind of against it. He's like, no, I think I can come up with somebody else. But since it's Morrison's right and Punk said, hell yeah, let's do it. That's our SummerSlam main event.
Okay.
So we're going to get a build to Morrison and him. Triple H is going to be in the background, and Triple H is still going to be the special referee at SummerSlam. And the whole angle is he's going to be like, dude, I'm not Vince, and I'm not going to screw you over. That's basically his thing. Vince doesn't want CM Punk to be champion still, but Triple H isn't as against CM Punk.
Okay.
He kind of supports him. Del Rio is nowhere to be found in the storyline because he kind of fucked up the original one. We go to SummerSlam. We just promo. Morrison and Punk at the main event of SummerSlam. Big match. These two have history. They fucking blow the house down. 30-minute match. Awesome. CM Punk wins. The crowd's going nuts. But right as this happens, No Chance in Hell plays. Vince McMahon comes out, and he said, do you really think I was going to let all this happen and you're going to take my company away from me? He said, this idiot might have done Money in the Bank the right way, but you guys don't get the fucking – you guys – this is my company. So I'm going to have a title match right now that I announce, and I don't need a Money in the Bank to do it. And he says, and my guy is finally going to win the world title from you and put you to rest, Punk. And then John Cena's music plays. cue a John Cena heel turn. He comes out all serious face, and he looks pissed. They're all John Morrison's in the ring confused. Punk's in the ring confused, and so is Triple H. And Triple H slowly walks away, grabs a sledgehammer, and fucking jabs Punk from behind. Right?
Okay.
So he beats the shit out of Punk. Morrison's just kind of sitting there. Morrison starts fighting with Triple H. And then out of nowhere, Randy Orton comes out from the crowd and then hits Morrison with an RKO. And then punts Punk while he's on the ground. Randy Orton's now on the Raw brand.
Okay.
He switched over. The whole part of this is that Vince can do whatever he wants. It's his company. He makes the fucking rules. So he says, Randy's on Raw now, and Cena gets this match. Cena obviously gets him with one attitude adjustment, but then he picks him up again and gives him a go to sleep. And Cena wins the world title. And that's how we end SummerSlam, instead of the Del Rio bullshit.
Okay.
Now, the next night on Raw, we have the formation of a new three-man stable with Triple H, Randy Orton, and John Cena called the Top Guys. And Vince is with them. And they're full-on heel. And they're like, this is how wrestling should be. We are going to force this down your throat. And this guy that you love and you want and you fucking grew up watching on YouTube like stupid nerds, he's not going to be anything, and we're going to make sure of it. And there's nobody in his corner. When he says nobody's in his corner, CM Punk comes out, and he says, I think you might be wrong about that. He says, I still have one guy. He can't fight anybody, but he can fucking noodle around backstage, and he is a voice for me. And then Paul Heyman shows up. And Paul Heyman cuts a promo on the Top Guys and talk about how they ruined wrestling, and Paul Heyman fucking drops his own pipe bomb promo. And that heads into Night of Champions, correct?
Yeah.
So in Night of Champions, we get the triple threat with Randy, Cena, and Punk. And Triple H is the special guest enforcer. Vince McMahon's the special guest referee. But Punk does get Paul Heyman on his side. Now, Punk has all odds against him. That's the tagline for the thing, is back against the wall, against all odds. Fuck TNA. They don't get to sue. They didn't copyright it anyway, probably. And it's the Night of Champions. Randy's in there to make sure Cena wins, but Randy, there's also a little thing with Randy's like, well, if I find a shot, I'm going to pin him.
Right.
And that makes Cena worried. Cena's full-on heel now. He's a corporate dick, which is the way they kind of should have went, in my eyes. So we go to the triple threat, and Paul Heyman's teasing something the whole time, though. Paul Heyman is like, Paul Heyman said, I might have a trick up my sleeve, and just so you know, I do have more guys. And he says that to end a Raw, and everybody's confused. And no one knows what's going to happen. We get to the triple threat. They're all beating the shit out of him. Vince is even stomping on him, and Vince punches Paul Heyman right in the face. Paul drops, and then Paul grabs the microphone and says, I need my other guy to come out now and save wrestling. Brock Lesnar's music hits, and he says, he does the first intro, he does, Brock Lesnar! And then he fucking comes out, the fucking music plays, and then he comes out and beats the shit out of all the top guys. Randy looks all confused because he's in the triple threat. Brock's beating the shit out of Cena, and then fucking Randy looks around, gets a GTS, and Punk wins the world title. That's how we end Night of Champions. What do you think of that, Doug?
I think it's pretty good. Now, you mean the WWE title, right? Because that's what they were going for.
Yeah, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay.
Not the big gold belt, the other one.
Gotcha.
So this makes us go to Hell in a Cell, which is basically we're bringing back the Armageddon Hell in a Cell.
Well, the six-man?
We're having the six-man, and we're having it with the three top guys, Brock, Punk, and we're throwing Morrison in.
Okay.
And we get the Armageddon Hell in a Cell. Paul Heyman's in Punk's corner, but he's with Brock, too. He represents them both. And we get a big six-man going into Hell in a Cell, right?
Okay.
You follow me?
Yeah.
What do you think so far, Clinton? Am I screwing it up more, or am I making it better?
I think you're making it better. Let's do the thing with Rock when I do have Rock doing this on a cell match, though.
That's a very good point, because when we get into the Hell in a Cell match, and this is just as badass as the first one, we're kind of ignoring PG era. There's blood, there's brutality, there's everything that it needs to be, obviously. It's a damn good match. But this match, what separates it from the first one is its elimination.
Okay.
Morrison goes first, because come on, I love the guy, but come on. Morrison goes first. Eventually, fucking Punk hits Randy with something, and then Randy goes. And then the final four is Triple H, Brock, Punk, and Cena. And then we get to a point where Triple H gets F5 by Brock and loses. And then we got the three left. Cena's there. He's fighting against the two of them. And Vince is like, come on, damn it, come on. And Cena, like, neutralizes Brock, hits him with the chair. And fucking Paul Heyman's cheering from the outside. And fucking... And then Brock and Punk start to get into it. But Cena's still a part of it. So he goes into the action. But he gets a GTS from Punk, and Cena's eliminated. The top guys are eliminated. So Vince comes in here. He says this is bullshit. He's pissed off. Triple H and Randy are still in the building. They sneak their way into the cage. Cena's still there. He's laying down, but he's starting to get up. And Brock's like, no, this isn't. You're not taking my company away from me. And then when all this happens, Brock looks over at Punk, kicks him in the balls, starts hitting him with the chair. The top guys start beating him up too. And then Paul Heyman's yelling at Brock, but then he looks over, gives that devious walrus face smile of his, and punches fucking, while Punk's on his knees, he looks at him and punches him right in the face. And then Brock picks him up at five. Hell in a Cell, Brock's the new WWE champion. And the top guys...
Brock, Paul Heyman going over, screwing Punk out of the title.
Yep. He screws Punk out of the title. He helps Brock. And Brock and Heyman are their famous marriage that they've always been. And they're also with the top guys now. And this all leads into Survivor Series. And Punk is freaking the fuck out. It's him against the world. But he needs an entourage for Survivor Series because Brock gets all his guys. And this is where all this ends pretty much. And if Punk wins, he wins the title and the top guys have to disassemble. But if Punk loses, the career is over.
Okay.
And he has to leave.
So it's going to be Brock and how many other partners? Three?
No, this isn't a Survivor Series. This is a world title match.
Okay.
The top guys are just in his corner.
All right.
And that's Triple H, fucking Randy Orton, John Cena, fucking, and Vince is there.
And
Heyman.
And Fatso.
And Walrus. And he says, he comes out and Punk says on an episode of Raw leading up to this, he says, it feels like nobody has my back, but believe it or not, I do still have friends. And then right at that moment, we start signing a bunch of indie darlings and you get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn pops up. Colt Cabana pops up before, you know, they had their falling out, obviously. Colt Cabana comes out. Kofi Kingston comes out. And he says, I got my entourage. And even though these guys aren't big and on steroids like you, they actually know how to fucking wrestle. And that's how they end the episode of Raw. So then we go into Survivor Series and have the big match. And there's a lot of back and forth. His guys go after the top guy. It's a big brawl in the ring. There's a lot of confusion. Brock almost wins a few times. Punk comes in, gets a go to sleep. But at the end of the day, him and Brock into a kind of a grappling match where Brock has him in a Kimura. He reverses the Kimura, rolls over, gets him in the Anaconda Vice, and wins the match.
Okay.
And taps Brock Lesnar out.
Whoa.
And then, you know, we go from Survivor Series. I'm not going to book the rest. But CM Punk, that is how I fix what the damage was. I would still have him lose the title along the way. I still have a lot of hiccups for him. You know, there's a lot of adversity because I don't think he needs to be a champion throughout this whole thing. But I think it's important that he ends the champion and he also goes against the top guys in the business. And there's adversity every week.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of that'd be the build I'd have for him. And then it, you let all the heels be heels and give Cena the epic heel turn that he deserves, you know. And then bring Brock in and him be the muscle. And Brock and him in Survivor Series would have been great, you know.
Yeah.
So for the world title with Heyman there and everything. So that's how I would do it.
I think it's a good idea.
Thank you. And I also think it gives guys like John Morrison a rub, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I would do it.
I'm enjoying it because I definitely want to see Cena heel turn.
Who would you say?
I'm enjoying it. Once he had the Cena heel, he's got my attention right there. The Cena heel turn, everybody wants.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
But I think it gives everybody like everything they want. So you get a Cena heel turn, you get a lot of Punk. You know, you get, like, people that were over, like, Morrison rubs, and, like, Randy gets to be a heel, which is what he's best at.
Right.
Vince still gets to be in front of the camera, so he's happy. And, you know,
well, as long as he's happy.
And it goes from the Summer of Punk, basically, into Punk versus the World would be the storyline.
Right.
And then, you know, with him getting the big win at the end. And then the top guys slowly evolve after that, and then you get a big Fatal 4-Way or something later down the line and shit like that.
Yeah.
But... that's how I do the Summer of Punk. I thought we all had great pitches.
Yeah, no, this was really cool because, like, we each took something that was kind of fumbled.
Yes, and unfumbled it.
Yeah, and unfumbled it a little bit. Like, we are going to do more of these, like, in the future because I got a few more, like, kind of up my sleeve that –
Oh, me too.
Probably, you know, need to be fixed, you know, like, especially, like, in that era.
We'll definitely do more of these episodes because this was a lot of fun, and we'll see if Eric has a good one. And, yeah, this will be cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, so it's fun to get creative on this show. And
yeah. And
it's not – and we don't work for WWE. It's not like – this is just fan theories, obviously, but this is what we would have done. And it was a lot of fun. I thought we all had good pitches, so if we were in the writer's room, maybe – it would have gone a little better. Not to toot our own horn or anything.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I'm sure, like, certain things about mine, I'm sure fans would, like, bitch about, like, Punk getting fucked over a lot. But, you know, you got to do that for the story sometimes.
Right.
You can't win every week, man, you know? So.
Oh, God, no.
I think in hindsight, all of us have good storylines. So we're going to call it here. We want a crisp hour. Check out all our other stuff.
Yeah. I was thinking about going on air tomorrow, bringing back on Scripting Unlimited and previewing the NBA and NHL Finals. However, they're not set yet, so
okay.
Probably not.
Yeah, I'll ask you about that. You know, like, I'll do the NBA Finals, but I was expecting like Boston to make this short little comeback.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah. So,
I mean, whoever wins is getting stomped by Jokic.
Yeah. But, so I'm not going to do that. I will also make the announcement that coming up, we are going to be doing a cartoon countdown soon.
Oh, yeah.
Probably in July. Top 10 underrated cartoons.
Hell, yeah. What are we doing next week on Unscripted Wrestling?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to bring that up, right?
Yeah.
So I had a couple of ideas. Now, unfortunately, we'll have to watch something because we haven't done that in a while.
Okay.
Either we can watch the June 1993 edition of the WCW Clash of Champions, which is the Hollywood Blondes versus Flair and Anderson, 2 out of 3 falls.
Ooh.
Or we can do the 1997 King of the Ring, Undertaker and Farouk in the main event.
Let's do 97 King of the Ring.
Yeah, well, that'll actually fit because that'll be, like, closer to the anniversary.
Cool.
So, yeah, so that's Undertaker, Farouk in the main event. The King of the Ring, where a big-nosed buffoon who would eventually boink the boss's daughter actually becomes King of the Ring. We get Austin versus Shawn Michaels, the tag team champions going after one another. Goldust versus Crush. Start of the Mankind babyface run.
Hell yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be fun to talk about, because to be honest, I've never watched this pay per view from start to finish.
Really?
Really.
Holy shit. Well, we're gonna do it this week.
Yeah.
And we'll see everybody next week.
Yeah, we will. All right, Clint, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, peace out, guys.
Later.